Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, who will be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. And I hope you had a great Thanksgiving Day yesterday. I hope you're recovering from your turkey coma after all that and didn't overdo too much on the cranberries and all the various things that go with it, the pies, the cakes, and all the desserts. I hope you had a great time and had chance as well to remember the many blessings that God has blessed us with here, and just thankful that we were able to spend time with family and friends. Well, we're going to have a special encore presentation. I'm just to give a little bit of an intro here. We had William Federer, author of Socialism from Plato to the Present, on with us a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about the Pilgrims and their experiment with socialism. Had a lot of positive reviews on that, people wanting to hear it again. And so we're going to go ahead and play that interview with Bill Federer for the rest of the program here. I hope you'll enjoy it. And we've had also want to announce that we do have our Friday night Bible study tonight. Even though it's Black Friday, even though it's the day after Thanksgiving, we are still going to be meeting at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road. We'll be there at 7 o'clock tonight. 7 till 9 is the official time of the Bible study, and it's an informal Bible study. You bring your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and we're going to enjoy some fellowship tonight and looking forward to that. And then, of course, when it's over at 9, oftentimes people stay around till 10 o'clock, sometimes later, still talking. So I hope you come out and join us. And then, of course, more information about our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, will be coming up at the end. So enjoy this special encore presentation. I've got a guest on the program with us today, William Federer. He's an author. He's a historian. And best thing I heard one time described about William Federer is when you listen to him, it's like trying to get a drink out of a fire hydrant. It's a lot of information, comes fast. William Federer, welcome to the program today.
Well, Pastor Al, great to be with you.
Hey, it is great to have you, and we've got holiday coming up that ties in with our topic, and people might wonder how it ties in, but Thanksgiving's coming up in just a couple of weeks, but you've wrote a book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, and we're going to hit some of that, but before we do, how can people find out a little bit more about this?
Oh, thanks. My website is AmericanMinute.com, AmericanMinute.com. And I send out a history email with little stories about what happened on each day, and always has an application to what's going on in the present. And one of them has to do with freedom of conscience and how in England during the period of Henry VIII, they would drag you before the Star Chamber if you were caught preaching without pre-approval of the king, and they would brand you on the face as a heretic. If you were caught preaching within 5 miles of a town without pre-approval of the government, you broke the 5-mile act, and they'll drag you before the Star Chamber. They passed the Conventicle Act in 1664. It comes from the word covenant, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst. And the king didn't like these people meeting without his approval, and so they would bust into your little Bible study and arrest everybody. That's what happened to John Bunyan. Mm-hmm. They're dragging him away. He said, better to be persecuted than be the persecutor. He spent 12 years in prison, and that's when he wrote John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, when I was in the United States Air Force, I was stationed at RAF Chicksands in England, just south of Bedford, England. And it really is kind of a neat place to travel around if you've read Pilgrim's Progress, because you can see the spot where John Bunyan was arrested. You can see the spot where he was baptized. You can see where he preached when he was afraid to stand. You can also see where he rang the bells. He was afraid the bells would fall on him because he was such a sinner before his salvation experience. And just a whole bunch of things in the area there. It's kind of neat. You can see the Celtic cross on the hillside that was the inspiration for the cross in Pilgrim's Progress, where his burden rolls away. And really a neat area if anybody ever gets a chance to go there. I spent 3 years there. Very nice. And I also thought, too, how amazing we're seeing the same sort of things happening again. History goes full circle, doesn't it?
Yeah, and well, thank you for sharing the story, Pastor Al, of you being over there. That's fascinating. But yeah, here the government wanted to take away your freedom of conscience and say that you had to submit your life and your body to them.
Mm-hmm.
Or if not, they would cut off your ear or brand you on the face as a heretic or cut your nose in half. I mean, it was very, very serious to not believe exactly what the government tells you to believe. And so this is the setting for the Pilgrims.
Right.
They were separatists. When you were caught in British England, you were not fed in prison. You had to have some friend that missed you and bring you food. And one story is John Merton. He's one of the founders of the Baptist faith in England.
Mm-hmm.
He had a friend bring him a bottle of milk, and instead of a cork, it was a wad of paper. And, of course, they didn't give you anything to write with in those prisons. They had bars on the window, but there was no glass. I mean, it was open to the cold, freezing weather. You'd shiver mm-hmm. in there. And if your friend brought you some money, you could bribe the guard to put you in a cell where nobody's dying of smallpox, you know.
Right.
But his friend brings him a bottle of milk, but instead of a cork, it had a wad of paper. And John Merton takes a splinter and dips it in the milk and writes out his pamphlets on the paper. The milk dries, it's clear. He folds it up, sticks it in the empty bottle. The guard takes it. His friend takes it home, unfolds it, and holds it above a candle. And the heat of the candle turns the milk brown. And they can see what he wrote. And they typeset his pamphlets, and they spread them around. And so the early Baptists called it the milk of the word.
Very good.
another was Thomas Helwys, one of the founders of the Baptist faith in England. He dies in the Newgate prison.
Mm-hmm.
But he wrote a pamphlet. He says, the king is a mortal man and not God. Therefore, the king should not set up spiritual lords and courts over them. He says, if the people obey all the king's humane laws, that's all the king can ask for. The king should not be a judge betwixt God and man. And so there was an early Baptist founder in America named John Leland. And he
right.
put it this way, paraphrasing, say, if the king can stand there on the day of judgment, then believe whatever the king tells you to believe. But if the king is not going to be standing next to you on the day of judgment, you're accountable to God for your own conscience.
Mm-hmm.
And kings didn't like that. And so they would persecute these separatists, these dissenters, and the Pilgrims. And so one of the groups of Pilgrims sell their property, and they arrange to buy passage on a ship to Holland. There were 7 provinces in Holland breaking away from Spain, took 70 years to do that. And they had a little give and take in their beliefs. And so it was the main, most tolerant country in Europe. And so the Pilgrims buy passage on a ship, but right before the ship takes off, the captain robs them, turns them over to the police, and they're taken away. Another group of these Pilgrim separatists sell their land, and they arrange for a Dutch ship to just sail along the coast, and they would row out in rowboats and get on the ship and sail away. Well, the Pilgrims show up a day early, and they're rocking in the water, you know, in the little inlet, and the kids are getting sick, and the wives say, can we just wait on land? And they say, okay. Well, the Dutch ship finally comes, the men row out, they're storing everything on board, and somebody snitched. The British come over the hill and capture the women and children. And the Dutch captain says, I don't have any army with me, we're out of here, and he sails away with the men. And you can imagine those wives watching that ship getting smaller and smaller and disappearing. Mm-hmm. For 2 years, they passed those women and children from one court in England to another. Finally, a judge said, you really didn't do anything wrong. Go home. They go, duh, we sold our homes. And so just to get them out of the hair, they put them on a ship, sent them to Holland, and they found their husbands, and so there's a happy ending to that chapter. But they're in Holland for 12 years. Spain, again, threatens to attack. The young, you know, pilgrim kids are more or less being tempted to assimilate into the Dutch culture, and the pilgrims realize they're going to be a one-generation movement. But then they decide they're going to come to America, to Jamestown. They don't have any money, and so they approach an investor in England, and they have a company, right? A bunch of rich guys pool the money. It's called the London Company, and they expect to get paid back. And so the pilgrims, they make it over to America, and two things are important. One is they were going to go to Jamestown, but they get blown off course. They land in Massachusetts. They try sailing south. It's stormy. The boat almost sinks. They go back to Cape Cod, and the captain says, off the boat. And they say, we have a question. Who's going to be in charge? There's no king-appointed person on our boat. The whole world is ruled by kings. And the King of England's like a globalist. He's a one-world government guy with him at the top. And the pilgrims say, there's no king-appointed person. Who's going to be in charge? They do something unique that impacted us to this day. They gave themselves the authority to start a government. It's called the Mayflower Compact. We, in the presence of God, covenant ourselves together to form a civil body politic, to enact just and equal laws that shall be thought most necessary, under which we promise all due submission. Simple revolutionary. It's a polarity change in the flow of power. Instead of top-down rule by kings, it's bottom-up rule by we. That inspired the other New England colonies and eventually the U.S. Constitution. But the couple other interesting things, the first winter, half of them die. And the next spring, out of the woods comes an Indian who speaks to them in perfect English. His name is Squanto. He had been captured, taken to Spain, sold as a slave, hitchhikes his way across Europe to England, works for years, finds a boat to drop him off in Newfoundland, finds a boat to drop him off on Plymouth Rock, only to find his whole tribe had died in a plague. So as tragic as that is, had he not been kidnapped, he most certainly would have died. But here he is, dejected, living with another tribe, and the next spring somebody says, hey, Squant, you wouldn't believe there's a bunch of English people wanting to start a colony in your old stomping ground. And he shows up, and you can imagine the dismay on the pilgrims' faces. But half of them had just died through the winter, and out of the woods comes this Indian saying, oh, yeah, you guys from England? I used to live there. Oh, yeah, the St. Paul's Chapel, oh, Wharf Street. Yeah, I know. I lived there. And then him saying, this place, well, I grew up here. I knew this place like the back of my hand. And so William Bradford says that Squanto was a special instrument sent of God for their good beyond their expectation. He taught them how to catch fish, how to plant corn, how to shake it on a fire and make popcorn, right? He taught them how to go down to the riverbank, squeegee, and catch eels and clams out of the mud. He taught them how to catch beaver skins, and it took 40 years worth of beaver skins to pay off that boat ride. And then he put them on good terms with the other Indian tribes. And that was strategic, right, to keep the peace. And so that's the setting for the first Thanksgiving. And Squanto, before he dies, William Bradford says they were in the boat, a little rowboat, exploring, and a freezing rain comes, and they put in on a little island. And he said, here, Squanto fell ill of Indian fever, bleeding much at the nose, which the Indians take for a symptom of death. He bequeathed several of his belongings to his English friends and then begged Governor Bradford to pray for him, that he would go to the Englishman's God in heaven. Well, these Englishmen were pilgrims. They were Christians, and so they were living their Christian faith, and he said, I want to go to your God. I believe that Bradford led him in the prayer of salvation, right? So he's up there. But fascinating history, and they did attempt socialism, and if you like, I can try.
And that's what I was going to ask about, because socialism isn't a new thing, and as you bring out in your book, Socialism, the subtitle, The Real History from Plato to the Present, this goes back a ways, and we're talking about the pilgrims. They were familiar with these concepts, weren't they? And they tried to employ them.
Right. So Plato is the first one that came up with the idea of everybody owning everything in common. And it's just theoretical. And nobody does much with it. But when the companies are formed, right, in the Middle Ages, there were no companies. It was a sin of usury to pay or receive interest. So if you wanted to do something big, like sail around the world for spices, you had to hit up a rich guy or a king to underwrite it. But once they started companies, and the 1555, they had the British East India Company, and then the Dutch East India Company, but then they started the Virginia Company, and now the London Company for the Pilgrims.
Mm-hmm.
And so the rich guys that wrote the bylaws for this company looked back to Plato as their model of everybody owning everything in common. Now, as Plato was theoretical, the Pilgrims actually are the first ones to try to live this out in the natural. And so the Pilgrim bylaws say all profits and benefits that are got by trade, traffic, trucking, working, fishing, or any other means shall remain in ye common stock. And all are to have their meat, drink, and apparel, and all provision out of ye common stock. Well, they tried it, and they almost starved to death. William Bradford, the governor of the Pilgrims, said the failure of that experiment of communal service was tried for several years by good and honest men, proves the emptiness of the theory of Plato and other ancients applauded by some of latter times. They knew that they were trying to live out the theory of Plato. He says that the taking away of private property and possession of it in community would make a state happy and flourishing, as if they were wiser than God. For in this instance, community of property bred much confusion, discontent. The young men, who were most able and fit for service, objected to being forced to spend their time working for other men's wives and children without any recompense. The strong man or the resourceful man had no more share of food, clothes, etc., than the weak man, who was not able to do a quarter what the other could. This was thought injustice. The aged and graver men, who were ranked and equalized in labor, food, clothes, etc., with the humbler and younger ones, thought it some indignity and disrespect. As for men's wives, who were obliged to do service for other men, such as cooking, washing their clothes, etc., they considered it a kind of slavery, and many husbands would not brook it or allow it. Let none argue that this is due to human failing rather than to this communistic plan of life in itself. I answer that God in his wisdom saw that another plan of life was fitter for them. So they began to consider how to raise more corn so they wouldn't endure the misery of want. After much debate, the governor allowed each man to plant corn for his own household. Wow, what a novel idea.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it says every family was assigned a parcel of land. This was very successful. It made all hands more industrious. Much of our corn was planted. The women now went willingly into the field and took their little ones with them to plant corn, while before they would allege weakness and inability, and to have compelled them would have been thought great oppression. So here, the Pilgrims, they tried everybody owning everything in common. They almost starved to death. They scrapped it. They gave everybody their own plot of land. They became more prosperous, and then they could share with each other.
Yeah, I would interject there. I remember when I was in the Air Force, of course, we were always keeping tabs on the Soviets, during the Cold War. And it was well known that, the communal farms that they had in the Soviet Union, which was on the same principle, which were failing miserably. But the most productive farmland in the Soviet Union, a lot of people didn't realize, was the farmers, the individual farmers, were allowed to plant things right around their house, like a little cottage garden, to supply some of their own needs. And that was the best tended and most productive farmland in the Soviet Union.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I remember talking with a pastor in Virginia, but he is Russian and he grew up there and finally got out when the Berlin Wall came down.
Mm-hmm.
But he said nobody fixed up their houses.
Yes.
If you fixed up your house really nice, a Communist Party member could come by and think it's pretty, and 2 weeks later you'd be accused of something, and they would drag you in the middle of the night, and they would own your house.
Yes.
So they would let the outside of the house get really dumpy. It's amazing that when they had just a little ownership, they were able to be prosperous, like you mentioned.
Yeah, and it really is amazing. And another thing that I thought of while you were talking about that, the resentment, that some of the men had for those that didn't work much, and the wives having to work for people other than their own husbands and families. The Apostle Paul told the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, he said, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." And of course, he didn't say can't work or unable. He said would not, mean they chose not to. And that's the problem with communism or socialism, isn't it? A lot of people, they realize, you know, I don't have to work as hard, do I? I can still get supplied.
Yeah, there's no motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And, people say, well, wasn't the early church socialist? No, the early church was the early church. Socialism
right.
is counterfeit early church. And the difference is between the word voluntary and involuntary.
Yes.
So the early church voluntarily sold their property and laid the money at the feet of the apostles for the church to redistribute.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have their land taken away, and they were forced to put the money at the feet of Pilate for the Roman government to distribute.
Right, right.
And so voluntary versus, and then the church, when the church helps people, it's called disinterested benevolence. You want the people to get better off simply because you want the people to get better off. And hopefully they'll help the next needy person that comes along.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever the government helps anybody, it's in exchange for something. You're in Egypt, you need food, the government will give you a bag of grain, but it's in exchange for your cattle, your land, your children, your lives, your votes, right?
Right.
And so that's it's control. And so
right.
what happened is the pilgrims scrapped the involuntary bylaws and they switched to the voluntary. You get your own land. And if you own, when the children of Israel went into the promised land, God gave each family land.
Mm-hmm.
And if you own land, you can accumulate stuff. The Bible called that being blessed. And you can be moved upon in your heart to voluntarily give away some of the stuff. The Bible called that charity.
Right.
If you don't own anything, how can you be charitable?
Mm-hmm.
How can you give away something you don't have? Are you going to steal from somebody? Now you're a thief and you broke the law? No, God entrusts you with land, with stuff, with rights, and then you can be moved upon in your heart to take care of your neighbor. And this is the model that the Lord gives us in the Bible.
Right. And in fact, Paul said in Ephesians, I see we're coming down on time here quickly, he said, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, giving with his hands the thing which is good." That is exactly what you said, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And that's, again, the choice to choose out of his own compassion for his fellow man to give to help the needs of others. William Federer, we're running out of time quickly here. We've got just about 2 minutes or so left. Time really flies when you're giving out this information. Again, share with people how they can find out more.
Well, thank you, Pastor Al. My website is AmericanMinute.com, AmericanMinute.com. And it's a new book. It's called Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. And the subtitle is How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crises to Consolidate Control. And so the idea is that democracies and republics, people have power, but how do you take it away from them? You get them into fear, and then they'll trade freedom for security, or you promise them free stuff.
And we see that.
AmericanMinute.com.
Right. We see that happening right now. You've got a lot of other books and resources that are available there. And I want to shamelessly plug you right at this moment. Christmas is coming. People are wanting to do shopping for Christmas gifts. You've got a lot of materials there. If somebody's got a family member or they themselves are interested in history, in how governments come to be, the Christian influences in America, you've got a few things there, don't you?
Yeah, well, there's one specifically on the Pilgrim. It's called The Treacherous World of the 16th Century and How the Pilgrims Escaped It. Another book on the history of Santa Claus, right? So there really is a Santa Claus. The history of St. Nicholas and Christmas holiday traditions goes all the way back to the 3rd century. And St. Nicholas, the Bishop of Myra, and how he was generous and gave to the poor and started all those traditions off. Just a fascinating book. But again, AmericanMinute.com.
All right. And William Federer, it's been so good to have you on, and willing to get you on again in the future with some more information. But I want to encourage people, check out this book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. And you can find out more, of course, at William Federer's website, AmericanMinute.com. And we're out of time today. I want to thank you for being on with us today and appreciate that. And I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving as well there, Bill.
So. Yes. Thank you, Pastor Allen, and blessings to all the listeners.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being on. And I hope you'll join us again next week. And again, God bless and keep listening. Thank you.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.